Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Who are we leaving it up to, the winners or the losers?
What is up, everybody?
You know, I'm a fun guy.
That's music to my ears.
From the Coin Podcast Network studios in downtown Portland, Oregon.
It was really good to see him play like we know he can.
I know things about football.
We're finding our way.
This is the Game On Podcast with Marcus Greaves.
Sports, sports, and yes, more sports.
Yeah, and we're going to get down to business.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Game On Podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. Hope you guys are staying safe and staying healthy, as always. All right, we got to get into this. We know Blazers lost Game 6 of their series, which means their series is over, taking the 4-2 loss to the Denver Nuggets. And so we obviously got to break down everything about this series, post-game, what we heard from the players, thoughts around the team and things like that. So let's first start off with the recap of the game. So I was fortunate enough to be at that game. The energy in the Moda Center was fantastic. People were so excited. Fans were excited. Players were excited. You can tell. Blazers got off to a hot, hot start. I want to say they dropped 33 in the first quarter. Michael Porter Jr., though, had one heck of a first quarter for the Nuggets. He came out with 24 points alone in the first quarter. But the Blazers did a great job, regardless of how Michael Porter Jr. did. They did a great job of keeping everybody else at bay, I should say. You know, Jokic was obviously the big guy that you have to worry about. They did a great job. I think he finished with 2 points off free throws. So, aside from that, Blazers in that first quarter did a great job. Then in the second quarter, Blazers really came out, and they extended the lead all the way up. I want to say it was to 8 at one point. Guys were hitting shots defensively. I thought they were extremely active. Nurk did a great job of taking the fight to Jokic. Role players like Norman Powell, CJ McCollum, they were doing exactly what they needed to do. I thought the rotation was perfect. Coach Stotts, the guys that he had in at the right times, I think they were peaking right when they needed to. Anthony Simons came in as well and was hitting some big-time three-pointers. It was really cool to see, y'all, and I think that was kind of the peak of it, right? And that was kind of where everyone was like, all right, we're going to win this game, me being one of those people. You know, I was like, here we go. You know, Blazers are going to get the win. It's going to be a great game. They're going to go to a Game 7. So I think a lot of us were already looking ahead to Game 7, which was crazy because, you know, it's not over till it's over. But here was the thing with that is that going into the half, Blazers were leading by 12. That was the most they would lead by. But it was such a good game at first. And that was the thing I think a lot of us really thought, okay, this is it. The Blazers are going to get the big-time win. Like I said, people were looking to Game 7, but you go into halftime with the lead, you come back out, and they really still had, they still pushed it forward, right? I mean, it's not like these guys finished the game, you know, on the Denver side with anything crazy. Michael Porter Jr. only scored two more points after that first quarter than he scored, I want to say, in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. But besides that, going into halftime, you know, they kept him at bay aside from that first quarter, but then Aaron Gordon, he was a guy who didn't really play that well in the series either. I mean, he only finished with 13 points, doesn't shoot the ball very much. Campazzo, same thing. He didn't really do anything crazy special. Austin Rivers, another guy, another guard. He hit a big-time three-pointer in the fourth quarter, but I think it was a lot less of the Nuggets and more of a meltdown on the Blazers' end. And I think when we see and saw how the game unfolded, Dame was kind of like, guys, where are we at right now? And I think the big thing is that in moments like that, you need your leader to step up. I thought Dame did a great job of stepping up. He hit some tough three-point shots just to get the crowd back into it when the Nuggets cut the lead down to 6. Guys were still feeling good, feeling high. Robert Covington came out in the third quarter, hit some big-time three-pointers, but it was the way that the Blazers ended the third quarter which killed them. Nuggets went on a huge run, cut the lead to 4, and it, from there, I think it was all downhill. You could tell some guys were getting frustrated. Carmelo Anthony obviously hit some big shots down the stretch in the third quarter as well. But the end of that third quarter, you guys, really was the reason why I think things started to go south for the Blazers. I definitely don't think they were ready to kind of weather that storm that they needed to, right? And Norman Powell went cold. CJ went cold. He turned the ball over a handful of times, and we'll get into all that after, you know, we talk about the recap. But then the fourth quarter came along, and it was a complete meltdown. Guys were getting into foul trouble. Offensively, they could not score a basket to save their lives. They were coming up short. They were not taking good care of the ball. On top of that, you know, like I said, frustration started to flare, and we saw that from Nurkic. We saw that from Norman Powell. Saw that from CJ. Dame obviously always keeps a level head. Robert Covington was getting upset with the officiating calls. And yes, don't get me wrong, the NBA officiating has not been great this season, and we know that. But you cannot leave it up to the refs to determine the game, and I think a lot of people understand that. You know, regardless if they want to say that Blazers got cheated at the end or they didn't, regardless, at the end of the day, you guys, the Blazers had a 12-point lead, and then they blew it in the fourth quarter, and the Nuggets ended up taking full advantage of that. So, yes, Blazers took the tough loss, 126-115 in Game 6, lost the series to the Nuggets 4-2. But aside from that game, so we don't even need to really talk about that game. I guess I can give you guys the final stats of, at least on the Blazers' end, Robert Covington. He had a solid game, 3-for-3 from three-point range, 11 points. Norman Powell, 17 points. Nurk, 13 points. Dame, 28. CJ, 21. CJ and Dame both struggled shooting. Dame was 8 of 20, 3 of 11 from 3. CJ was 9 of 21, 2 of 8 from 3. Carmelo had 14. Anthony Simons had 9. He was 3-for-3 from 3. But besides that, you guys, I mean, you can't really ask for that much of a better shooting night. I mean, they still shot 50%, 41% from 3. But at the end of the day, there's something about team chemistry and understanding what to do when they need to do it. And I don't think the Blazers did that, which resulted in that loss. So now we got to talk about the postgame stuff, because I think the postgame stuff was the big thing. You had comments from Nurk saying he wished he had a bigger role. On top of a bigger role, he said he would, you know, someone asked him, Nurk, would you like to come back? He said, yes, I would like to come back, but only to the right situation. That's big, right? And I think I have a little bit of frustration when it comes to that, because, listen, I'm a guy who is competitive myself. I 100% understand Nurk's frustration. I understand how he feels. I hate losing as much as the next guy, if not more. I'm a terrible person to play any game with because how competitive I am. And I feel like Nurk is the same way. But I think there's two different things. We'll see the difference in this. Nurk is young. He's 26. But there's a certain way you handle situations, and he did not handle that situation well, right? You are the starting center. Your role, it was not an easy one. You had to guard the MVP of the league, or soon to be MVP of the league. Again, not an easy thing to do. So on top of that, then what are you going to do, right? You have to step up. You have to play a tough game. Jokic does a great job of dominating games. He finished with 36 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, he's the MVP, like I said, for a reason. So it's not like you're going up against a scrub. Like, he's arguably the best player this season, and you're getting outplayed. But how do you respond to that? Are you going to point the fingers, or are you going to take responsibility and say, I got outplayed this series by one of the best players in the entire league? I was hoping that was kind of the reaction Nurk was having. I think for the most part, in, you know, post-game media availability or whatever it is, I thought Nurk did a great job of being, you know, he's honest, he's up front. He's like, it doesn't matter to me unless we win. That's what he used to say, but something was different about what he said after that Game 6 loss, right? He said, again, I want to come back only if the situation is right. You know, I wish I had a bigger role, this, that, and the fifth. You cannot say that. Like I said, you are the starting center. That is on you, right? You had to play a better game, and you didn't. Again, no one can blame you because it's Jokic. He's a great player. But don't go pointing the fingers at everybody else, at the team or at the GM, the coach, or the coaching staff's decisions, because, listen, if you stay out of foul trouble and stay healthy, then you can play, and you can play at a high level. But you're not doing a team any good if you get five fouls. You know, he had 4 fouls in the third quarter alone. And those are the type of things of, like, we get you frustrated, but at the end of the day, man, we need you right now. Like, this is the time that we need you. And one moment that stuck out to me, and I keep replaying it in my head, it was mid-fourth quarter. Nurk got a foul call on him. It was not a great call. The officiating was not great, but it was not a great call. He did not deserve to get that foul. But what he did was he took the ball, right? Obviously, he's frustrated. You know, he's like shaking his head, putting his head down, and he walks the ball about, you know, 5 or 6 yards away from where the ref is. And he sets it down on the ground. And you see Dame run over and talk to the ref, as in like putting his hands up like, it's okay, it's okay. Then you see CJ run over and grab the ball and sprint it on over to the ref. so they don't get a technical foul. Those are the things that you can't do if you want to. You're in a game six, right? You have to keep a level head. You cannot go out there and be selfish like that. That was a selfish move. Again, I have a lot of respect for Nurk. I like when Nurk is healthy and his mentality. I think he's a really solid player. But one thing I cannot respect is when you don't, when something's not going your right way, you have to understand your role, right? Dame is your leader. From there, you have CJ. From there, you have A. From there, you have whoever, right? Nah, down the list. But one thing that I can't get behind is when you're doing that in a situation like a game six. This is a do or die thing, right? You win, you move on to a game seven, you hope to play to make it to the next round. You lose, your season's over with. These are the games where guys need to step up and not let things like that bother them. You can't put the ball on the ground because, well, if you got a technical foul? Regardless, I mean, they lost, so I guess hindsight's 20-20. It wasn't a big deal. But those are the things that nobody thinks about. Very frustrating. Very frustrating in my mind to see how Nurk responded. I don't think that was a great response. That was very frustrating to see. Probably not just from an outsider and media perspective, but I think as one of his teammates, you know? I think that's something where it's like you have to grow in that aspect, man. You cannot point the fingers at everybody else and make it seem like it's their fault that you didn't have a successful series. I think that's a very selfish thing to do. On top of that, CJ's post-game press conference, it was about as simple as it gets. You know, someone asked CJ, how do you feel about the trade speculations? He said, you know, my job is to get better. You know, my job is to get better. My job is to, you know, put myself and my teammates in a position to win. You know, I obviously didn't play very great this series, but I need to do what I need to do, right? And I didn't. I thought that was very respectable. I think that's something that's just honest. That's how CJ is, you know. That's how it goes. And it sucks, but CJ handled it, I think, exactly how you needed to. But this is the big thing that I think everyone is a little nervous about, right? And that was Damian Lillard's post on Instagram. He said, how long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meets preparation? So obviously, as media members, you know we're about to jump in this and dissect the heck out of this. Like, what does this mean for not just the Blazers, but for Dame, A, B, and C, this, that, and the fifth? But I think that makes people a little nervous. I think Dame is fed up. I think that at the end of the day, when Dame is fed up, that's when you know things are really, really south, because he's not a guy that's going to complain to management. He's a guy that has taken his situation and made the best out of it, whatever it is. Yes, he hasn't had any crazy star players or nothing like that. CJ is a great player, but that's about it. Melo's a Hall of Famer who's towards the end of his career. You know, that's just the reality of it. He hasn't complained one time, but we have to get my man some help. He's 31 now. I mean, it seems like they almost waited too long, you know? You don't know how long a rebuild takes if they're going to rebuild, and we'll get into that in a second, but you know, you see Dame's Instagram post, and I think that says alone not only how frustrated he is, but it's like he's done everything he's been asked to do, you know, and he hasn't gotten that love reciprocated from him, at least from a management spot. I think from the fans, obviously the fans love him. Players around the league respect him. The league respects him. They know he's one of the best. I think the biggest thing is we have to remember, okay, so what's the situation with Dame now? You know, this guy could leave. He really could. He could ask for a trade. He could do whatever. Me, personally, I don't think he will. I don't think that's in his nature. He said it numerous times that he wants to stay in Portland. He wants to retire in Portland. He wants to be the best Blazer of all time, which you could argue he probably already is. But that's the thing is, this guy is asking for help. Someone needs to get him help. So now the question is what's next? What do the Blazers do? You know, obviously, it's probably the end of an era when it comes to this roster and the main core pieces of Nurk, Dame, and CJ. You could assume that either Nurk or CJ or both are probably gone. I see a lot of people speculating everybody but Dame could potentially be gone, which, you know, at this point, who knows? Because it's obviously whatever formula they have right now is not working. So I think that's a big thing of, so what's next for this roster? So, like I said, end of an era. But on top of that, a coaching change is probably going to happen as well. I'm a guy who I really don't think Coach Stotts is as bad of a coach as people say. Everyone has their own opinions. I'm just giving you mine. Again, this is coming from an experience that I've had where the grass is not always greener on the other side, y'all. So you get rid of a coach, you get rid of whoever you need to. I know changes need to be made, regardless if that's a coaching change, if that is Dame, if that's CJ, if that's whatever. I know changes need to be made. Neil Olshey, whatever it is. But I think a lot of people put most of the blame on the coach. That's what happens when you're a coach or the star player. We get that. But I really don't think Coach Stotts has been as terrible as people say. I think he's done the most with what he can do with this roster. But realistically, if the Blazers roster this season can't beat that Nuggets team, then yes, some major changes need to be made, because there was no way that Nuggets team should be able to dismantle the Blazers like they did, right? There was no way that they should have been able to beat them in four games, 4-2, There was no way, because guard play, you're taking the Blazers guards over, you know, the Nuggets guards all day. Obviously, Jokic is better than Nurk, but I think the gap wasn't as wide as most people thought. But after this series, I think people can kind of see how big the gap is now between those. Bench-wise, I mean, Monte Morris came in and had a heyday yesterday with 22 points. He kind of embarrassed the Blazers as well. There's just a lot of things on this roster that we're starting to see. And I think a lot of it has been blanketed by how good Dame has been. You know, some of these games that the Blazers should not have won, they won because of Dame's 50 points or his insane shooting nights, especially last season. I mean, what was he? He had 6 or 7 50-point games. I mean, those are games that the Blazers are going to lose if he doesn't drop 50, right? And everyone's looking at that season probably a lot differently. But I think that's the thing, is that, yes, Coach Stotts has done a great job of getting to where he has got to the playoffs as many consistent years as he had with the pieces he's been given. But I think much like, you know, everybody else, we're like, all right, Coach, well, we appreciate it, but we're not making any progress. And I think a lot of, you could look at George Karl when he was with the Nuggets. The Nuggets did a great job, and they every single season they, you know, were a solid team. They were above average team for sure. They were pretty solid, made the playoffs. Coach Karl got Coach of the Year. Same thing with Dwayne Casey and the Raptors, right? But changes need to be made, because there's nothing that they could do to take that next step, and that next step needed to be taken. So I think that's kind of the position that we are in right now. Who knows what roster pieces are going to be moved? Who knows who's going to get traded away? Who knows who's going to stay? All we want for a fact is that we got to have Dame stay, man. I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of Blazer fans. If Dame stays, that's going to be the most important piece by far. Do everything. I think do everything in your power to keep him. Do everything in your power to make sure he's happy. That's the only way. You know, I want to hear your guys' suggestions of who do you think needs to be moved on? Coaches, players, whatever it is, roster moves. I know everyone's going to say keep Dame because it would be foolish not to, but I'm interested to see what you guys have to say. I'm really curious to see about that. But I just wanted to give you all of us on this episode of the Game On podcast, just a recap of everything. There's a lot going on. A lot of off-season drama is going to happen now. You know, there was a recap for the Denver game that put it in stone that this team needs to be changed. However, it needs to be. There's frustration on the roster. Nurk, CJ, Dame, probably Stotts as well. Neil O'Shea, the GM. And then what's next? You know, who's leaving? Who's staying? Who's going to be the next coach if they need one? You know, who knows? But these are all moving pieces. But we had to recap that. It sucks that it's the end of an era. We had some great moments. But on top of that, there's also some really low moments for this Blazer roster and this Blazer organization. So it'll be interesting to see how things are moving forward. But with that being said, that's all I have for you guys on this episode of the Game On podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. Like I said, like, share, give me your responses. I want to know who you guys think needs to stay, who needs to go. Do they need a coaching change? Do they keep Stotts? Give me all of those, because I think this is something where a lot of people are going to be curious. And what do you guys think the Blazers need to do in order to keep Dame on this roster and keep him happy? But like I said, thank you guys so much for listening. I'll talk to y'all next week.